The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Ah, yes, the favourite time of the week. It is Winners and Sinners. And this week, joining us are Saoirse Hanley, features writer with the Irish Indo, and Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast from Today FM. Good evening to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
Very glad to see you here. We need some lightness in all in all the darkness currently. Alison, let's come to you first. I really like your
winner. Literally light and brightness. So this one app is called Sunseeker. The other one's called Sunny Pints. And did you say you're heading out after the show?
I am.
Very good. Very good.
Like you can, any given day, basically. After the show. So there's nothing new there.
Sure, the
like.
Children are rare. And it's fine. It's your time now. It's
you're
your
not,
time.
You're not wrong.
It's your time.
Not wrong.
I use that light. But they're not small anymore.
I know. So there's a guy in Britain who's a 34-year-old inventor. And he came up with Sunseeker. There's no E. It's been rebranded, so it's Sunseeker, just ending with an R. Basically taking into consideration the height of loads of buildings in London. He started with London because he was tired of heading out for coffees, teas, beverages, adult juices, whatever, and not finding sunny spots. And so it took off and it became like the number one lifestyle app downloaded in the UK within 2 days. So he quit his job and that's what he does now. So then there's an Irish
one.
He
found a sun in every sense.
He did. He literally did found the light.
He got to quit his job because it was so popular.
So popular. So Sunny Pints.
Ciara,
so
you like your job, remember?
Oh yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Sorry,
we do.
I
get distracted by other lives that I'm not living.
I can see we lost you there temporarily.
I do think of apps sometimes. I go, that would be kind of cool, and then you realize it's already been done. But Sunny Pint, is the one for Ireland. So you log on, you get a little orange reading for where you're thinking of going. It's in the sun currently because it's real time, and purple is shade.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's
so you can, sorry, just so, to follow this because I'm not the most techie. You can download an app and then I'm going to Dunleary or I'm going to Greystones or I'm going to Dublin or Cork or Galway or wherever.
Yeah.
And I want Sunny Pints.
And you put in your address, the address you want to go to, and it will show up in two colours in the Irish app and go, it's in the sun right now. It's not now, right now. So it takes in real time weather as well as
and
all the configurations.
And suppose I don't have somewhere I have in mind, can I actually just look for somewhere that's in the sun?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Now, is there a downside to this?
What?
Is everyone going to head to that? Is it going to be, those places are going to be
well now
packed,
because everyone's listening to this, they now know about the app. So.
The other thing though is when you're in a bar that has a nice back garden, it happened to me a few weeks ago where I was in a bar and it was a lovely sunny day, but all that was left was the tables that weren't in the sunshine.
Okay.
So I had to sit there and look very solemnly across.
And slightly cold.
Yeah, a little bit cold. Yeah. And I was like, God, it's Aperol Spritz weather over there. Like three tables away.
Hot toddy or something.
So is there a need for another app that kind of, you know, tells you the bits of that pub that actually
like
is
very sunny. Well, I would imagine if you're in the pub, you can see the bits.
I was joking.
Or you're being facetious.
Facetious.
That's not like me. I usually know Shane's jokes.
I can throw something out there that is controversial. I'm not a sun seeker. I mean, I'm like a ghost that might come as a surprise. So I would like an option of staying somewhere where you kind of maybe could dive into the shade.
Oh, true. One arm in, one arm out.
Yeah.
SPF anyway. On one hand, not on the other.
I am in love with this idea because I am a ridiculous sun seeker.
But you have a great colour right now. Well, we haven't had the sun, so how did you manage this?
I was in Madrid last
week. Okay,
weekend.
All right. But you got that even.
Oh, it was 26 degrees and I didn't even need Sunseeker or Happy Pints or whatever it's called. I was literally, like, you couldn't
But Ciara,
avoid
I know this is radio, but you've got like a lovely even tone. I don't get that when I'm in the sun. I get blotchy.
Well, no, there's a few bits of, like,
it looks good though.
I look semi-dirty in
I'm
parts.
With you. I don't like sitting in direct sunlight.
I know.
And like, it's not good for you.
I know. And
10
you know
minutes
those,
is fine.
You're quite right, it's not.
You know those, the scans, obviously being a doctor in the medical field. So the last time I went to kind of get mole mapped and checked, they're like, do you know what the sun is? Like basically,
really?
Which is good. Like,
have you ever seen it?
Cause,
have
like,
you heard of this app? Did they give you the app?
Yeah, that's for
vitamin D.
One of my best friends is currently travelling in Asia and she's due back at the end of this month. And while I cannot wait to see her, part of me is like, oh.
She's
going to be sickening.
She's going to look amazing.
Like, I get updates and I'm like, wow, that's she looks so tanned and
but
gorgeous.
I would also genuinely look at you and go, you have that beautiful porcelain skin, Saoirse. You do. You know what I mean? And like you do,
Our senior producer Claire, who's sitting looking in the window at me now, also has it.
A little porcelain ball.
Our co-presenter also has it, I think is where you're going next.
I was going to just finish on Claire. Whereas I, when I have no tan, I'm like just, I'm a bit red. I'm not a good colour. Like I'm not an attractive shade. Do you know what I mean? I need a bit of sun.
So you need
shine
your little top.
I need a little bit of sun.
Yeah. Get into that sun seeker.
Yeah. I like this. This is a happy thought for the week and for the up and coming summer.
Well, Saoirse, at least though, you have physios.
This is true.
Your winner of the week.
My winner of this week. Groundbreaking discovery that no one has ever thought about visiting before. I've launched a new career.
This is a new concept like the app,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes,
the physio.
They have
explain
just started.
How it works.
Yeah, so you can become a physiotherapist, and basically what your job is to rehab people's niggles and injuries. Don't know if you knew this. Yes. Now, I have been doing various kinds of sports and activity for a long time and never went to any until this year. And the last few weeks, I've been seeing a physio because I started running. As I was building back up my running distance, kind of on and off the last few years, and I was getting this weird feeling where like I'd land on my knee weird, and I was like, "That's probably fine." And then it was happening again and again. And then the next day, I'd be like, "I'm kind of walking down the stairs a little bit weird. My knee kind of hurts." And I was like, "I bet there's a profession out there where they can sort this out."
If only,
plug this into Google and see where can I go with a niggle in my knee. So I started going to physio, and do you know when you do something or you get something or you try something out? And it does exactly what it's meant to do. Mm. And you're like,
and it works.
Wow.
Miraculous.
Wow. Everyone should know about this.
I hate to tell you because I used to run. It's all bloody downhill. Once the niggles start, despite the physios, and I'm not knocking them because they do a great job, but despite the physios, I don't run. There's a reason why I do 100 days of walking, not running, because.
And every single person who runs
two
ever
Achilles,
has
two
all
hips.
These things. Yeah, it's the knee for now, and it's my left one. And what I did find quite funny was that my physio, shout out to Molly, she's great. She, I think, has a background in Gaelic football. And in our first session, she was like, "So if I threw a ball at you, which leg would you kick with?" And I kind of looked at her and I was like, I don't know if you'd get the ball back. I honestly don't know which leg would be my leg to kick
with. Hang on a second. You don't know which leg you
Couldn't
would kick
tell
with?
You. Right.
Do you know what I love? There's three women in studio looking at you.
What's
wrong with saying that, Shane?
I'm confident it's my right.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Should we try? Anyone got a ball? I couldn't tell you. And what we did as we continued on, we discovered probably my right, because I'm right-handed, and my left leg is like a weak little chicken leg. She had me doing all these things and she was like, I'd push up with my left leg and I'd get nowhere. Push with the right leg, brilliant, not a bother. But then she was saying crazy things like, "Well, do this wall sit. Can you lift your leg?" And I was like, am I supposed to be able to lift my leg like this?
So you were wall sitting and taking one leg
up? I can do it now though.
Oh, what?
Tell you what, a few weeks physio, I can do it now.
I've never tried that.
Well, you should go see a physio, they're great.
just do a wall sit right now.
I've done wall sits, but I've never tried to lift my leg.
They're good in the quads, aren't they?
Yeah.
A wall sit with one foot up.
I bet we'll try that after.
It's kind of that thing when you're asked to, like, you know, when you're asked, like, pat your head and rub your stomach, it's like your brain doesn't think you can lift your leg. Apparently you can, but it's maybe stronger one.
Kira's going to try.
So what
Kira
do you mean
is,
from the...
This doesn't probably work as well on radio, but okay. I, for listeners, I should say, Kira is now... She's doing it, yeah?
She's one leg.
She's leaning against the wall.
Do they want you to extend your leg or just
lift? Just keep it up and keep it for like 45 seconds.
She's now going to do that...
I should admit, I go to the gym a huge amount, and if I couldn't do a wall sit, that'd be bad. Like,
she's got no weak one leg.
I don't have a weak one
leg. Do
you
brush your teeth while standing on one leg as well?
You're supposed to do your other hand.
I do burpees as I brush my teeth. That's what I do.
And you're supposed to do your other hand.
Oh,
so your non-dominant hand.
Oh. For your teeth?
Try and do more with your non-dominant hand.
I'm not sure I could brush my teeth.
I shouldn't talk to you about medical stuff. You already know all this.
We need to talk, Alison, all there. Yeah. I need an education.
Yeah.
I would never, I don't even know if I could brush my teeth with my left hand. My left hand is like my chicken leg. It's useless. I think we have to take a quick break for the news and we'll be right back with Winners and Sinners.
Welcome back. We are still joined by Saoirse Hanley and Alison Curtis for Winners and Sinners. Our sinners, I suppose it's kind of continue on a little bit of the theme, Saoirse, because we're back to talking about sunshine or lack thereof and false springs. And
yes.
I know where you're going with this already. Because was it Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday was glorious.
Yeah.
it was warm, it was balmy. I was coming out of the office and I was like, Jesus, I wish I had an app that could tell me where to buy a sun and pine right now.
If but only.
It was so nice. I was out, again, now that I'm fixing my left leg, I was out running and I brought a jumper, and then within 5 minutes I was like, I need to take this jumper off. I was running in a tank top. I was like, this is crazy. And then the next day, I was like, I'll get up now in the morning, it's lovely, we'll go for a coffee. So my boyfriend stepped outside, both in just jumpers, and the sun came out. We were like, oh my God, we're full of synthesizers.
We're in the Riviera.
Absolutely. Yeah. South of France. Turn the corner, frozen. Someone's gone in.
Real feel. I think it was real feel 2 or 3 degrees
so
within about within 24 hours.
It was so cold, and I'm just sick of it. I feel like I'm taking my coats off at the end of end of a day and thinking, I won't need that tomorrow, and sticking it in the cupboard and leaving it there. And then immediately the next day it comes back out. Mm. I am sick of it. I wish it would either give us the heat now. I know it's only April, but in my mind...
But is this not April, like the month that you do get all four seasons in one day?
March
is that
end April.
Yeah.
And July and February and September.
Just a couple of them.
But the evenings being dry and bright, I'll just walk my dog for 6 hours now, whereas before I was like,
I want the protesters to come out again in October to stop daylight savings going backwards, because honestly, the longer evenings... It's making such a difference.
I mean, they shouldn't limit themselves to one cause.
No,
you're right.
No, exactly. Yeah. We should be able to roll out those tractors for all sorts at this point. I completely agree with you, though, Saoirse. Yeah. I really do, because, we had the longest period of rain. Was it 50 or 60 days of
crazy.
Rain at the start of the year?
Wow.
And then when it started to get warm, when it started to have that kind of feel again of that there was spring in the air... It gives hope, doesn't it? I get a feeling of hope from it.
And I'm fortunate in the sense that I don't think I have really been affected by weather in the past with my mental health. But this year I definitely was like, oh, this is. And for a lot of people it is. You accept the kind of winter months largely if you're okay to not be affected by it all. But now we are oh my God, I'm the same as you this week. I was like, oh, just make up your mind.
Yeah, please.
I know, because we're ready for it. Aren't
yeah.
We?
We're ready. I think that it's that whatever about false spring, it's like false hope. It's like you
That's it.
Lean into it and you're
it's
like, yes.
It's hope. Dashed and it's the hope that kills
and
us.
And it really, really hurts. It's kind of weird because I was thinking, I remember being, when I lived in Canada, I remember it being April 9th and it started snowing again in Montreal. And I was like, are you for real? I was like, it's April, it's time, it's bad. And that was kind of the last of the snow then. So it's not necessarily new, or I know we get this every single year, but every single year I delude myself with the hope that it's time, it's warm, let's go.
Yeah,
I know. And I do think that other countries have a more normal relationship with the weather, as in, they have winters and it's not very nice and it's cold and it's blah, blah, blah. But then it warms up and it stays. We're kind of choppy changey. And it is that I did kind of feel when the, as it was, a false spring arrived, that it was spring and that it was going to mean
you get lifted.
Sunny pints, and it was going to mean all of the, all of that stuff, that it was actually... It was here for us.
I know. No, it has. It's been a bit of a drag this week for sure, definitely.
But I think we're almost there.
Yeah.
This time it's going to
stick. I don't think I'm dressed warmly enough today. I have a sleeveless top, but it's even my jacket is too light.
I discovered that today as well.
That is a gamble,
I've messed up.
You've messed up big time.
Well, I'm
it's a gamble.
I'm prone to it, let's be honest. Alison, you have a sinner too, and I really like this sinner as well.
Oh, God.
I like this topic.
I know. I feel like I'm going to be really bringing down the tone, but it kind of ties in with the fact that the weather keeps changing. Do you remember when March of the Penguins came out in 2005 as Morgan Freeman?
Yes.
It's such a gorgeous thing. I've actually watched it a good few times. So Emperor Penguins, everybody fell in love with them, and literally they already loved them, but then they got to know a lot more about them because it was a good watch. So they've now been certified endangered and they're 2 steps away from extinction. So there's 6 classifications when it comes to plant, flora, animal, all of that. So it starts with least concern to extinct. And obviously that's drastic and that's awful. So it's all to do with the fact that, the planet's heating up, their environment's shrinking. But they're so cute. They have to be the ones that turn it for people. And people go, they cannot be extinct.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing to say, but people don't relate. And they should largely to fauna or plants or things
like that. Stick insects and things. We're not that pushed.
I know it's terrible, but we should be. But with the emperor penguins that could be the moment.
When you said everyone will remember watching, I actually thought you were going to say Happy Feet, because I am much more lowbrow than Morgan Freeman.
But both of them are brilliant.
But I did love Happy Feet.
I know, it's so cute. It was so cute.
I actually remember bringing my eldest kid to it, and he was only, I don't know, I'm going to say 6 or something. He's 26 now, so it's quite old.
Yeah.
And he insisted on spending the whole movie standing in the steps in the cinema. dancing, happy feeting, like he wasn't alone. I was doing it too. No, I mean there was other kids.
A lot of people, yeah.
But it was such a gorgeous movie. But I think we did all fall in love with the Emperor Penguin.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching it again. March of the Penguins.
Yeah, and
definitely.
All those ones where you see them, you know, groups of them pass each other. And sometimes one of them will get confused and end up in the wrong group.
I know.
And the others will kind of go, go on back, go on
waddle.
Back, Patter. You're all right.
Yeah,
that's your crowd over there. Like
and the way the dads hold the egg underneath them. And it's just gorgeous.
What are we going to do?
We all have to be just a little greener and recognize it and put pressure on the governments to become more greener.
Is it their environments are melting or the temperature is just not conducive to breeding or what do we know
the actual... So like their environment shrinking and the times of year that their environment's warmer is affecting their breeding as well. Yeah. Oh, so sad. I couldn't cope. I'm sorry now it's Friday and you're off for your pints thinking about the Emperor Penguin.
I really am. I'm going to enjoy them considerably less now than I actually
raise one up for them. One out for the Emperor Penguin.
We can do something about it though because they're two steps away from extinction. We can still turn it around.
You do hear often, not often enough, but you do hear sometimes that we bring them back from the brink, right?
Well, during COVID, when, you remember those aerial views of the world, that things were like, rivers were blue again, and forest areas were green, and like all, like the, you know, the regrowth was happening in that short space of time. So if we just, because we weren't traveling, we weren't, we weren't damaging the environment as much.
But I remember during the COVID period hearing, and forgive me if my stats are not perfect because this is a bit on the fly, but you know the way we've been supposed to come down by our emissions by 7% per year and all that to reach our targets. I think we came down during the COVID years 1.7%, and that was with us at practical degrowth in terms of the economy. We weren't driving, we weren't going anywhere. We had 2K
so
and
that's
5K.
Small.
It was really small. So COVID didn't even save us from
I hope
that.
The lunar mission would like give us all a jolt because looking at the Earth from their view has really made me be like, whoa, we gotta save her.
Yeah. Has it? The kind of Gaia idea that's Mother Earth and there she is floating around in the universe.
And like whether or not we're alone in the universe, I don't know. But we're the only ones we know.
Yeah.
So looking at, you know, it's kind of like, wow, we have such a gift. We've been given this cool thing and we get to exist on it and it's so beautiful and so many parts of it are amazing. And I'm kind of like, oh, I wish we could do something about it. But I also don't know what. So I'll just
it's interesting you
about
say
it.
About whether or not we're alone in the universe because my brain now tells me it's pretty much impossible for us. If the universe is infinite,
I don't think
we are.
And
if all we are is a soup of carbon sort of things, the science here is ropey, and a big hot sun, if that's all you need, somewhere else in the universe those conditions exist for life.
Or life doesn't need the same conditions that we do.
Ooh,
for
different
existing.
Life, anaerobic. Totally. So, but there has to be, but it's funny because when I was a kid, because I was brought up like every other kid of my era with a lot of religion and, you know, we were made in the image and likeness of God and all that kind of stuff. So I fully believed that there couldn't be any.
But really?
I just believed as a child that the universe was sort of designed by God around us. Creationism, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, I'm talking about being 6 and 7 here or whatever age I was. And I kind of just presumed that. And it took me years to kind of go, I don't think that really stacks up in terms of the science.
Pretty big out there.
Yeah. So I imagine that there's all sorts out there.
Oh, definitely. And I remember speaking about being younger. I remember when I was younger having a really clear thought of what does infinity mean and space going on forever and getting actually freaked out by that going,
well, that's scary.
What is infinity? Forever? How does that even work? And like lying there in my young brain and my dad's like, just read Winnie the Pooh and go to sleep.
Just Winnie the Pooh.
Just tell me about infinity.
Those other things are too big. It's funny. I was out for a walk the other night with one of my kids who's 19 and he's doing physics and they do astrophysics and do all sorts of stuff. So we were talking about, you know, universal type things like that. And I was saying, do you ever think, like, you know the way there's us, but then in like that, then there's dogs and cats and then inside them there's like the microbiome and you know, inside those there's... I said, do you ever think that we're just tiny things, obviously on a planet, but that we're actually up the nose of a huge beast or something? Do you know what I mean? That there's other bigger and bigger things that, like, you know, ants don't know about us.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Maybe we don't know about the bigger yolks. And he was looking at me like, No, I never actually think that. And I was going, I think it's a distinct possibility.
But these are fun things to think about.
Yeah, I like the, yeah. the fear of infinity. I do think back, speaking of space, I do think like another winner for us if I was having my time over would also be one of the astronauts who named the brightest spot on the moon after his late wife.
I know.
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah, yes. I did actually.
That
yeah.
made me really sad yeah. and happy.
I am glad that
that's sad happy because it's a beautiful yeah. moving thing.
Yeah. yeah. And I'm glad that it's gotten as much coverage as it has
yeah,
actually. It's yeah,
nice.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carol.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny because the world is funny and humans are funny and we've gone all sorts of philosophical now that I wasn't expecting. But on the one hand, we have this awful war situation in the Middle yeah. East, very clearly people killing each other, people killing people, people killing strangers. They mm-hmm. don't know them. They don't know their lives and yet they're willing to kill them because that's how war works. But then we have this human endeavor taking us off the planet into the outer space and looking at the beauty of our work, you know.
At the same time.
Yeah, at the exact same time.
It's crazy.
We're going to take a really short break on that philosophical note. And we will be back with more Winners and Sinners in just a moment.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
And you are very welcome back to Winners and Sinners. And Saoirse Handy and Alison Curtis are still with us. What else do you want to talk about, Alison?
So I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this properly, but Conte Nast.
Conte Nast or something, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. is like the authority, obviously, on many, many things, but travel being one of them. And they did recently just publish an article, The Seven Wonders of Ireland. And it's nice because it's not the obvious things. And I mean, I've lived here since 1999 and I do feel like I've traveled extensively through my own work with my own show and just wanting to travel. And I know that it's different because like if you ask me for different parts of Canada, I was like, well, I've traveled there a good bit as well. But largely I'm kind of like, we like to travel abroad. So it's the same with obviously Irish people generally, I'm generalization. But I wanted to see loads. But it's really nice to know like the Ring of Berra, which is controversially was listed as entirely in County Kerry and that magazine, which is obviously in Cork
West
as well.
Cork, yeah.
Yeah, it was listed. Fermanagh Lakelands.
Oh, that's rogue.
Yeah, but I like that because I've travelled that area as
that's
well.
That's Lockern and all around there, isn't it? Yeah, I've travelled there too.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, like,
and I'm a sucker for a good lake because I grew up on a lake. And another place I really, really love, I don't know if either of you have explored it. I have extensively just because I've been lucky enough to have time down there and friends, is the Copper Coast in Waterford. So I'm glad that they're all listed there.
That's three of them. What are the other four? Just because I haven't read this.
The Burn is in there as well, which I'm not surprised by because it is so unique. Northwest Donegal, the coast there. So the rugged
beautiful.
Atlantic coast, absolutely stunning, is listed there as well. I mentioned the Fermanagh Lakelands. And then this, I'm also not surprised, and it's included in a lot of people's tours destinations, is the Passage Tombs in the Ancient East. And then Kilkenny for culture.
Oh, nice.
So that's the seven.
Do you know what? When you see that list, it does make you think how fantastic Ireland is, doesn't it?
Oh my God. Like, I have always, always said this. And there was a time period while I was living here that, you know, a lot of people were leaving for various different reasons, largely 06, 07, 08. And literally everyone was like, and lots of people heading to Canada. And I had so many conversations every week. I'd say dozens going, why are you living here? Like, why are you not going to Canada or going back to Canada where everyone seems to be going and the quality of life? And I was like, because of the Ring of Berra and the Fermanagh Lakes
and the Burn and Kilkenny.
It's all very accessible.
Saoirse.
It's all very accessible.
Yeah.
In that, like, you know, there's absolutely gorgeous, stunning, amazing corners of Canada. But I remember when I first went there, I was like, wait, it's how big?
I know.
My friend was going to be in Vancouver before I was going to be in Montreal. And I was like, what if we meet up? And then we looked at it and I was like, wait a second.
That's such an Irish thing. What if we meet up? We're both there.
Yeah,
3,000 miles apart.
Yeah, we're going to be different.
And then I had a friend who's from Vancouver originally. And they're like, did you guys know each other when you were in Canada? I was like, no, she was like 5-hour plane ride away from where I grew up.
Whereas in Ireland, you can conceivably get around pretty easy. Like,
it is an amazing country. And I'm glad that those
Canada
all were
is
mentioned.
Beautiful. I've only been once, but it was spectacular. I was over in the West Coast and amazing. But yeah, these are like the Passage Tombs are incredible.
Oh my God. Yeah. Definitely.
You've given me a newfound sense of
Kira,
pride.
Take a weekend and go
country.
And visit a few of these
harp noises in the back.
Saoirse, what do you want to talk
about? I would like to talk about being a copycat and whether it's like a whether it's still a thing when you're an adult. Because I remember, like, before social media, when me and my fellow 12-year-old would communicate via email with each other in, like, really bright colours, and that's
it's
all
okay,
we
use pigeons.
Yeah, there you go. Before the Ravens. So when we were sending emails, and I actually have an email from a friend at the time when I was maybe, like, 10, and she had been, like, she was like, yeah, it's just that I can really tell that you're copying me, so if you wouldn't mind, like, not copying me. I must have been, like, I had the same pencil case or something. But obviously that becomes less of a thing when you get older. But I basically...
I haven't had a pencil case in ages.
Well, you see, and if you did, it probably wouldn't match mine because there's so many now, they're mass produced. But I had I bought a handbag yesterday on Vinted, which I really hope arrived as it looks it will. It is gorgeous. And it's because a friend of mine had it 2 weeks ago and my best friend has since bought it as well. So the three of us in our one friend group, we've been friends for like 15 years, we now have matching handbags because it was so gorgeous and we're all nearly 30 and realised we can't keep carrying around like a shortened Uniqlo crossbody as a handbag because that was just, it was getting a bit much.
Okay.
And we also all had the same Uniqlo crossbody bag. So we were like, right, we need like a grown-up bag, sophisticated.
What is it?
Like,
can you tell us?
Well, it's this French brand called Lancaster. I'd never heard of it until I was visiting my friend Aisling 2 weeks ago. She lives in Amsterdam. She'd found it on Vinted there. She was like, I was looking for a bag that fit like a book, but was still small and like a leather bag over your arm. And when she showed us this, I was like, this is game over. It has a handle that fits over your shoulder, but you can slightly extend it by like just clipping it into the side. Like it doesn't have like a big buckle or anything. It just like a little clasp opens. You can slide it down, make it shorter or longer, just a little bit. And it's what is two lengths you can have it at. And it's gorgeous. And it was so chic and so elegant. And I was like, that's what I want. And I kind of didn't think about it much. And then my friend Sinead bought it the other day and they were talking about it. And I was like, well, I also want that bag. So that I bought the bag. And I was saying to Sinead that it's really nice because Sinead will call herself a total copier. She's like, if I see something I like and it's on you, I'm just going to get it as well.
I think it's a compliment. It's
like the highest form. The sincerest form of flattery.
I think so.
You had me at handbag, by the way. I was like,
there you go.
She didn't care what it looked like.
I can tell you all where to get it. So they have loads of them on Vinted. They're gorgeous.
I do love that you all buy on Vinted as well. All my kids buy on
Vinted. I don't.
This was one of my first. I've only ever bought one or two other things on it, and this friend who had bought, Aisling has bought a few things on it now.
Everyone,
and I was really inspired.
It.
I was like, I just, the thing is, right, I opened it up yesterday and I was looking for the bag, so I was able, I knew what I was looking for and that was fine. But I was texting a few friends that use Vinted a lot and I was like, can you please tell me, like, it's so vast.
I think I'm scared about it.
I think
that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed.
I think it's really sustainable and I think a good thing, and I think it's really bloody cheap. I think that's
it. Is, yeah.
That should be back in winners. That never mind any other business. That's actually a winner.
It actually is.
Look, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
It's a lovely start to the weekend, I think, winners and sinners. That is Saoirse Hanley, features writer with the Irish Independent, and Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. What time are you on air tomorrow, Alison?
8 a.m.
8 a.m.
Yes.
You're such a winner.
Oh, it's all good.
Thank you both so much. That is our lot, though, for this evening here on The Hard Shoulder. Myself and Shane will be back on Monday at 4 p.m. Other than that, Tuarara, Agustoga Bugay, and have a fantastic weekend.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.